The month of February is dedicated to Pride. Nearly 5% of New Zealand's adult population identifies as LGBTQIA+, as of June 2021, according to Stats New Zealand. But there's more to Pride than happy, colourful events at bars, parks and clubs. And it's not just feather boas and dance music, hot pants and glitter. There's issues like the quality of life, safety, security, equity and freedom at stake for many in the rainbow community. Auckland Pride Festival's Executive Director Max Tweedy joins us now. Kia ora, good evening, Max.
Kia ora, good evening, Karen. How are you?
Good, thank you. Before Pride, there was the Hero Parade. Were you even born then?
I think I was born, but definitely not attending. And yeah, you're right. So the Hero did precede Auckland Pride in the kind of late 90s, early 2000s. And there was a time for a while where Auckland didn't have a Pride Festival, and we came roaring back in 2013 and have been going strong ever since.
Well, the Hero, you didn't have to be gay to take part in it. Is that what Pride is as well?
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, Pride is for our rainbow communities, but it's also for, you know, our allies, rainbow communities, whānau and friends, all to participate, really. There's so many different events that are happening within the festival that there's truly something for those that are in the community, for those that are allies to the community, and times for everyone to come together.
Busy time for you. How long does this take you to organise or, you know, be part of the organisation of?
Well, it's a year-round gig, and as you can imagine, the last 2 years have been more challenging than usual. And, you know, it's kind of the regular things that we need to do throughout the year to make sure that February is a success. So all the kind of planning and funding and partnerships and all those kind of pieces as we and building our team as we build up to the festival. So, but, you know, without the 2022 festival, it feels like this one's been 2 years in the making.
Yeah, absolutely. So it goes throughout, well, Auckland's Pride Full Festival program goes throughout all of February, doesn't it, from the 1st to the 26th?
It does, yeah. So back in 2020, we had a festival that spanned kind of 2 weeks. It was 16 days long, and within that, we had 154 events, and that was kind of a record festival for us in 2020. And so when we kind of took a look at it and said, actually, I think we need more time, and, you know, around the world and the kind of Northern Hemisphere, June is the kind of recognized Pride Month in the Northern Hemisphere. So people kind of had an understanding of what Pride Month was, and we knew that there was stronger demand here for more events and more people to participate. So we thought that we'd expand our festival here to a full month long. So, yeah, this year it's the 1st to the 26th. And they've been a roaring success ever since we've opened them up to a full month.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff to put on, though. It's a lot of events.
It is, yeah. We've got 170 in our program for 2023, so quite a few events. And not all of them, of course, are organised by us. Our incredible community partners, venues, etc., all come together to put on some fabulous events. So it means that, you know, the communities across Tāmaki Makaurau are the ones kind of having a say in what events that they want to see in their local community. So not just in the central city, but out west, out south, and everywhere in between. So that's a really important element of it too, that communities have the ability to put on the events for their communities so that they can all play a part in Pride.
So what are some of the highlights that you're looking forward to?
Oh, it's like asking me to choose my favourite children.
Do you have children?
I mean, I think, you know, for us, obviously the big ones that we're excited about are our major events. So we've got the Pride March on the 18th of February. So it'll be marching down Queen Street with a specific focus on standing in solidarity with our intersex community and making their voices heard and celebrating that community. So that's a really awesome opportunity for everyone to come together. The free participatory event that, you know, we all kind of come together in this kind of fun and energetic environment as we push for further change, which, as you said in your introduction, is still a very important part of Pride. We've got Pride in the Square in the final weekend on the 24th and 25th, so it's a full takeover of Aotea Square with live music, DJs, but also kind of community events, workshop in between. And then we've got Te Timatanga as well, our Takatāpui Festival, taking place centred in the Albert Park Caretakers Cottage and down in Britomart, with incredible kind of public art and other mahi toi offerings across the month. So those are some of the highlights. Otherwise, there's the Festival of Live Arts. There's the same at different literary festival. Big Gay Out in Coyle Park, and then there's many more free community events, parties, drag shows, theatre events. There's just so much to enjoy the whole month of February.
And for you, I believe this is your last Pride Festival.
It is, indeed. It is. So I've been in this role for about 4 years now, and, you know, in that time we've seen a hell of a lot of change with Auckland Pride through some really challenging times, and I'm really proud that, you know, kind of 4 years on, we're still delivering kind of record-breaking festivals, and we're continuing to strengthen the numbers of people that are participating in Pride events, people that are putting on Pride events, and also the amount that we're able to support our community in the process. And so after 4 years, I think it's probably about time for me to move on, and I feel really confident about where we're at as an organisation, that I can pass on to some new energy to breathe some new life into the festival, and I'm really excited to see who that will be.
And in your time with the festival, have you seen that life is better for rainbow people in New Zealand? And is it easier? Are we more accepting?
I think it's a tricky question. I think because I think there's a few things in there. I mean, obviously, as the festival has grown, our impact has grown. So our kind of the direct impact of the festival in people's lives is growing by nature of there being more people participating. And like in 2021, our post-festival survey, you know, showed that 72% of people that participated in Pride of 75,000 felt more connected to their community as a result. So from that, you're getting much better social kind of mental health outcomes as a result of those statistics. But I think broadly, there have been some real challenges emerging in 2022. I think there's been a global rise in quite public facing, kind of sometimes it's happened kind of behind closed doors, but they're quite brazen attacks on the community. Obviously, there was the Rainbow Youth and Gender Dynamics Drop-In Centre in Tauranga, the kind of Queer Gloria Church down in Greymouth, and the kind of general, you know, horrible kind of anti, you know, queer things that we're seeing out of the United States. The, you know, horrendous amounts of legislation and attacks there, shootings at nightclubs, and then, you know, you've got the UK Conservative government blocking Scottish legislation around, you know, gender recognition laws. So, you know, has life gotten better in some aspects, but in others it feels like we are, you know, are gearing up for some new kind of battles with regards to our, you know, rights, freedoms and equity.
Pride is not just, as I said, it's not just about the parade and the events that you've got on. It's about educating people as well. And it might be a good opportunity to talk us through some of the terms that people may not be too familiar with. We hear them, but perhaps we don't know what they are or understand them. So would you be willing to go through? I've got a glossary here from Stats NZ. It's not a test. Don't worry.
It kind of feels like a test, but we'll see how I do, shall we?
Oh, she started A. Okay. This is, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, actually. Agenda?
Agenda. So, yeah, I think, so this term kind of refers to someone that doesn't necessarily feel like they, that a gender identity kind of applies to them and are kind of neutral to the idea of a gender identity.
Is that different, you know, to non-binary?
So non-binary is kind of is described as not either kind of the what we kind of typically associate with the man gender or woman gender. So it's kind of neither of those binary genders. There's kind of multiple gender identities that sit in the kind of spectrum in between. And so non-binary is one of them, gender fluid is one of them, gender neutral, gender queer. So there's a range of labels that fit into that spectrum in the middle that different people identify for different reasons.
I see. Okay. So fairly similar, agender and non-binary.
They're fairly similar. I think there is some kind of specific nuance. I think the use of agender kind of denotes the fact of almost like a lack of gender, of someone refusing to engage with the idea at all.
I see.
Going neither of the two or somewhere in the middle.
Okay. Another gender.
Of another gender. So in respect to... To what, like kind of being attracted to the other gender? Or?
Well, it just said the terms used in the Stats NZ gender question format and classification. Are you another gender?
Oh, right. So I think that's with regards to if they're asking, they might have options there that if between selecting, you know,
male or female
or another gender. Yeah, exactly.
I see, but they don't actually put the term that you can choose from.
No, that might be right, and sometimes I think there are you know, so many kind of identities in between that I kind of talked about, that sometimes it's easier. I mean, statisticians don't usually like having a kind of write-in option, but sometimes it can be more authentic in getting the right answers.
Asexual.
So asexual is someone that just doesn't really feel sexual attraction to other people's sexual desires at all. So is more perhaps romantic and isn't very much into the sexual side of things.
Different than being celibate?
I mean, celibate is, I think, well, I mean, not an asexual person isn't necessarily celibate, and a celibate person isn't necessarily celibate by choice. So I think the asexual kind of denotes that they're just, that's just not their thing.
I think we all know this one. Bisexual.
Bisexual, so yeah, that's attracted to both genders, or I think more recently it's been used to kind of open to not just being attracted to one gender, although it is very similar to the addition of to the definition of pansexual, which is multiple genders. So there is some distinction there, but kind of socially they're used pretty interchangeably.
Okay, cisgender.
So cisgender is described as feeling the kind of identifying with the gender that's typically associated with the sex that you were assigned at birth. So for me, assigned male at birth, and that matches my gender identity. Therefore, I am cisgender.
So how would you describe that if you were asked? You would just say I'm. Would you clarify it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think so. Yeah. I mean, the word cis, I think, is Greek and just kind of means the same as, and so yeah, that's how I would kind of describe.
You'd say cisgender male.
Yeah, I'd say cisgender male. Yep.
That's okay.
How I would describe myself. Yep.
Never heard of this one. Demisexual.
So demisexual, I think, and you might be better with the definition in front, but I think demisexual talks about only being sexually attracted when you're romantically or physically attracted to someone, or emotionally attracted to someone, I think.
So the one night stand is out.
Might just be with that definition.
Right, okay. Gender queer.
So gender queer, I think that's another one of those definitions, kind of in that spectrum of gender. Queer, I think, has been a term that's been reclaimed over the years that some listeners may remember as a slur towards the rainbow community, but has kind of been reclaimed with a bit more of a political bent to it, and of kind of a subversiveness that's attached to it. So I think genderqueer kind of leans into that, kind of the politicisation of the word a little bit, and a subversiveness of not identifying with either of the kind of binary genders.
You need an entire dictionary with all the definitions. Is there a dictionary?
Well, it sounds helpful if StatsNZ has put one together, actually, then that might be a very helpful resource.
Who has? StatsNZ, right, yes, they're good, right. And most people know this, but transgender.
So yeah, transgender, that's someone that their gender identity does not match the sex that they were assigned at birth, and is someone that either, and I think this is kind of an important piece, that someone doesn't have to be actively transitioning or changing things about themselves to identify or to be transgender. So, yes, that's someone that I think, yeah, more people have come to know this. So their gender identity doesn't match the sex assigned at birth.
So are there any terms that that aren't generally used but are used in the community that wouldn't StatsNZ wouldn't have?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I think maybe queer might qualify as one of those. I mean, I know that the term has kind of been more widely used in kind of recent years. It's kind of been reclaimed, not just within our own community, but also a little bit more outside of it. So that, I mean, again, and that I think has a kind of broad definition of being an umbrella term. Sometimes it's more specifically used for diverse sexual orientation as opposed to kind of gender identity or sex characteristics. So that would be probably one of those ones, but I think, yeah, I mean, there's not necessarily a lot of internal kind of identifying language used kind of beyond slang terms, I would say, that are widely used in our community.
And we know the offensive terms that we don't want to hear, the hate speech and all the rest of it. There's plenty of those out there.
Yes, they definitely are, and they're very much still widely used, unfortunately. I think, that's been one of the things that we have been concerned about over the last kind of couple of years, is more people kind of reporting, or at least publicly reporting, that they've been kind of verbally harassed with some of that language. I know I've had it used against me in the last couple of years, which is never nice, but, I feel like, for me, at least, I am very, very comfortable in my identity. That doesn't faze me as much, but it just worries me when that could be targeted at a younger person that isn't so comfortable in their identity or their place in the world.
Why do you think this is happening? It seems to be escalating, the hate speech.
Look, it's a tough one to say. I think one of the things that we've seen over the last 2 years, particularly, has been the rise of misinformation and disinformation, especially as it's pertained to COVID-19, and where we've seen that kind of misinformation kind of proliferate has been in kind of far-right circles. And of course, they have historically not been particularly kind to our communities, and so in these circles there are issues, of course, that crop up. And I think especially from the United States, we've seen at least now 300 bills in state legislatures attacking trans communities, drag queens, gender affirmation, gender affirming healthcare rather, and this kind of more brazen nature of talking about it, and the return of this kind of horrible, groomer language and stereotypes towards members of our community. But I think also kind of broadly, just felt more empowered by far-right political leaders saying these types of things out loud and returning these attacks onto our communities. And I think that does have a nasty flow-on effect. And I think, as we saw last year with those attacks on, like I said, that Rainbow Youth and Gender Dynamics drop-in centre, and on that Rainbow Church Glory in Greymouth, that just because it's happening in the United States, we're not immune to the effect, feeling those effects of it here. And certainly, we're having to make some pretty tough conversations around the safety of some of our events and making sure we have more security. And, that's a pretty tough thing to do. But, obviously our priority is keeping our community safe. But it's disappointing that in 2023 we still have to be having these conversations and kind of ramping them up at times.
Well, on a happier note, Max, all the best for the Pride Festival and any new venture that you go into.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm very much looking forward to Pride and being back in person. So, look forward to seeing as many people there as possible. Have a great time.
Good on you. Thank you very much. That's Max Tweedy, Auckland Pride Festival's Executive Director. And the festival runs from Wednesday the 1st of February to Sunday the 26th of February.